I think you have a hard time in the military if you don't follow orders, right? Well, I wanted to put that into a Christian soldier's perspective this morning and talk about understanding obedience. Understanding obedience. Big word, even kind of scary, isn't it? Well, let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, thank you that you lead us to living waters. Lord, you take us, as I said earlier, from where we are to where you want us to be. Lord, thank you for this message. And again, I thank you for each the members of the military that are part of this church. And Lord God, for the ones that are serving now here in America and in foreign lands, Lord, I ask you to care for them, to keep them, Lord God, protect them. And Lord God, we thank you corporately that we live in America. Thank you for this great country. Lord, I also want to thank you for salvation, for being part of your family. Lord, use me by your Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Lord, for all you do and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 There's our song leader. Amen. Bonnie, you blessed us today. Amen. Imagine, if you will, that you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended time abroad. So he says to you and the other trusted employees, he says, look, I'm going to be gone for quite a while. And in my absence, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You manage things while I'm away. I will write to you regularly. And when I do, I will instruct you in what you should do from now until I return from this trip. Everyone agreed. Amen. Everyone agreed. Then the president then leaves and he stays gone for a couple of years. During that time, he writes often and he communicates his desires and his concerns for his company. And then finally, he returns. The president walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything in a mess. Weeds are flourishing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building, the lady at the front desk is sleeping, the music roars from several offices, two or three people are engaged in horseplay in the back room. Soon he also becomes aware that instead of making a profit while he was gone, the business has suffered a great loss. So without hesitation, he calls everyone together, and with a frown, he says, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? Didn't you get my letters? You answer by saying, oh, yeah, sure. We got your letters. We've even bound them in a book. And some of us have memorized them. In fact, we have letter study every Sunday. You know, those were really great letters. I think the president of the company would then ask, but what did you do about my instructions? And no doubt the employees would respond, do. Well, nothing. But we read every one. Oops. That may sound silly, folks, but many, many Christians try to follow Jesus in the same way. Undoubtedly, they may hear the truth, but then they decide to do nothing about it. Are you with me? I'm going to ask you that several times, probably. Are you with me this morning? Amen. 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 American culture, primarily due to the abundant blessings available in the U.S., has created a passive form of Christianity that is totally unbiblical. It's God's desire that as Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are to make active attempts to live out the message of God's truth. Amen? Former congressman from years back, Bruce Barton, believed this so much that he emphatically said, passive Christianity is morally wrong. Passive Christianity is morally wrong. Do we often find ourselves struggling with the issue of obedience? Do we think of obedience as something necessary of only animals and children? Do you suppose we have thoughts like this because we've forgotten the simple fact that we are not in control? We are not, folks. Brothers and sisters, don't we know by now? Don't we know by now that God is the only one in control? Amen. Obedience is an act of surrendering your will to the plans and desires of the Master because it is the Master who is really in control. Amen. Obedience to God and His Word is essential to living your life as a blessed disciple of Jesus Christ. Obedience. Now, folks, the issue of obedience is one that you encounter every day. You make decisions constantly to obey traffic laws and drive the speed limit. You make the decision to obey the guidelines set up by your employer. You decide to obey your conscience, hopefully to do the right thing. And every day, you must also decide to obey the divine direction that God has given you, which means every time you respond to God with an obedient heart, you will add to your spiritual foundation on which your life is supported. And each time you decide to disobey the Lord Almighty, you destroy a piece of that same foundation. Obedience builds a godly foundation and deepens your relationship with Him. On the contrary, disobedience essentially tears everything apart piece by piece. Are you with me? Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. Holler when you're there. Amen. It says, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Now, from this passage, it is clear that the blessings of God flow to those who obey Him. It just said, whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep or do His commandments. Amen? We keep His commandments. Hallelujah. Now, disobedience is one of those topics that is the least desirable to talk about because deep down, we know we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. In our attempts to follow Jesus, we all at some point have been disobedient. Amen? And that's exactly why Pilgrim and Governor William Bradford said, "Those who believe in the Holy Scriptures are bound to observe its teachings. Those who do not are to be bound by its consequences." So obedience is an essential part of the discipleship of following Jesus Christ. Obedience. Now, the secret of true obedience is establishing a closer and closer personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. The closer that relationship is, the easier it is to be obedient. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. Missionary Andrew Murray once said, "All of our attempts other than full obedience will be failures until we get access to His abiding fellowship. It is God's holy presence consciously abiding with us that keeps us from disobeying Him. I must consciously include the Lord in every thought, activity, and conversation until the habit is established." Amen. Great words. Great words. Therefore, obedience becomes the completion or the final step of our relationship with Jesus. Obedience. We love Jesus so much. We have such a close relationship with Him that, of course, we are obedient in everything He says. When you first responded, listen to me, saints, when you first responded to God's call, you obeyed by going to the altar or the bedside or wherever you were and invited Jesus into your heart. Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, came to dwell in you. Your obedience and response to Jesus' call allowed Him the opportunity to take up residence in your life and begin to influence your thoughts and impact your behavior. You already know that the more you obey Him, the greater place of importance He will have in your life. Amen? The more that you obey Him, the greater place of importance He will have in your life. But when you disobey Jesus, it decreases His involvement and leadership in the day-to-day living. Remember last week when I said Peter went from a close relationship with Jesus into worshiping Jesus from afar. Amen? Amen? When we disobey, this closeness leaves and separation results. We worship Jesus from afar. A number of years ago, one of the families in our church in Louisiana had suffered from a fire which totally destroyed their home. It was a trailer house, and even though it did not burn to the ground, it was a complete loss. Eventually, these folks used their insurance money to build a new home on some property that they already owned outside of town. And by the way, just a footnote, their Bible was sitting on a table, and it was not burned. It didn't even look singed. Amen? Now, there's a reason why I use that illustration. When Jesus comes into your life, it's like leaving your old dwelling and building a new home. Our old life or our old residence has been gutted by the power of sin. Therefore, a new home is necessary. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you would build a new home and then not move in? Right? You would be content to continue living in your old gutted out shack. That's not reasonable, is it? Amen? When we live in Jesus, it's like moving into a new home. Amen? And in accordance with God's plan, Jesus must become the center of our lives. His presence is what fills us, surrounds us, and keeps us So please understand, Jesus lives in us. How then can we neglect him? How can we neglect him then? Now, the most amazing thing about all this is the fact that God has a longing desire to be part of our lives. Amen? That's amazing. That's amazing. But why would he do this? Why would he do this? Why would God come and fill us with his holy presence? Well, in the beginning, God once had a dynamic personal relationship with humanity. He literally walked side by side with Adam and Eve throughout the Garden of Eden. However, when Adam and Eve sinned, this dynamic or that special relationship God had with them was lost. It disappeared. The Bible tells us that God is holy. Consequently, he can't be in the presence of sin. If he allowed himself to be in the presence of sin, and he loves us so much, that's got to be a desire, I think. Amen? But if he allowed himself to be in the presence of sin, he would no longer be holy. Holy is without sin. Amen? But praise God, through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the forgiveness of sins, Jesus can now come and live within us, and the aspect of the divine and human relationship is restored once again. Amen? Now listen, if this were not enough, God sent his Holy Spirit to live within us as well. Fantastic. So I like to think that in the book of Jerry, that we have been given a double portion of the presence of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Supernaturally infilling us, continually drawing us closer to the triune God. Hallelujah. Now, just so no one gets after me, and to be theologically accurate, it is all the doing of the Holy Spirit. He represents Jesus in our lives, but to be correct, the Holy Spirit also has an influence on our lives. Amen? Now, turn to 1 John chapter 5, and starting with verse 2. According to this scripture, obedience to God and his word will bring us victory. Obedience to God and his word will bring us victory. Multiple times, John writes in his first letter to Christians about the issue of obedience and its significance in the life of any disciple. All because he wants us to realize that obedience to God and his word allows us to share in the eternal victory won by Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't you want to share in the victory that Jesus won? Amen. So let's read this, starting with verse 2. 1 John 5, starting with verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen? That verse part of that talks about keeping his commandments. Obeying the word, right? And who is this that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. Now, no matter what your previous condition, when you made a commitment to obey Jesus, you win. You win. You win with the blessings of God Almighty. You win with the power of the resurrection. You win with the continual leadership and presence of the Holy Spirit. You win when you're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over to the book of James and see what he says about obedience. James chapter 1. Holler when you're there, folks. Amen. Okay. James chapter 1, starting with verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Here in chapter 1, James reveals a pattern that accompanies the life change of a Christian. Those who follow the pattern will enjoy a personal transformation. And although this plan is extremely simple in concept, it is much, much harder in practice. But be encouraged. There's only three simple steps to obedience. Three simple steps to obedience. Number one is listen. Listen. And then be willing and ready to obey God. Listen. Number two is learn. Learn. The only way to truly learn is through personal obedience and experience. It is putting what is heard into action. Amen? Turning the hearing into habits. It only takes 21 days to form a habit. If you can change your habits, you will be able to successfully change the way that you live. Amen? Second one was learn. The third one is live. Listen, learn. Number three, live. Make a decision to live differently. Make a decision to live differently. This must be a total change of lifestyle from how you were living when you met Jesus. But it can only happen when you exchange worldly bad habits for godly new ones. Simply begin with an open heart and desire to hear God speak and then obey His divine word. Amen? So in the book of James, it encourages us to be quick to listen to the word. Be quick to listen to the word and then ready to obey when God's word connects with our spirit. Be ready to obey. James also reinforces this theme as he exhorts his readers not only to hear the word, but to obey it as well. Amen? Obey it. Saints, we must be ready to obey and then follow through with actual obedience. Actual obedience. It is not enough to just say that you will obey or have an honest intent to obey. You must consciously obey the Word of God by following through with it. Amen? Billy Graham once said, God does not call us to be successful, but to be obedient. God does not call us to be successful, but to be obedient. Well, y'all are sure quiet. Obedience to the Word of God is complete when we follow through with actions. Amen? Consequently, we cannot settle for just hearing God's Word or even have a willingness to obey. Anything that falls short of actual obedience is not being a doer of the word. We must do the word. We must be doers of the word. Amen? James also speaks of listening intently to the word. Why does he make this statement? Why is there a focus on this? Well, maybe because the early Christians only heard the scriptures. They only heard the scriptures as they were read to them. Copies of the letters, which are now the books of the New Testaments, were difficult to obtain, and at times they were illegal. So the church would keep one copy of every letter they received, and they would all spend time together reading the scripture, reading the letter. The goal was to listen and learn and then to do what was taught. Amen? Listen, learn, then do what was taught. Now, I have tried to emphasize the importance of doing the Word of God and not just hearing it. Amen? But please allow me to warn you of some negative consequences if you just hear the Word. If you haven't bought into this doing yet, let me tell you some consequences of just hearing the word. Number one, simply hearing the word can lead us into deception. People sit in churches every Sunday and hear the word. Some of them may even quote scripture. Imagine that. Just because a person hears the word and even knows the word, if they don't do the word, they may be lulled into a false sense of spiritual security. There is no substitute for doing the word, folks. When you do the word, you fulfill God's plan. You fulfill God's plan. A habit of just listening will make it too easy to slip into sin. Hear me. It'll make it too easy to slip into sin. We cannot just hear and hope we're all right. Our acceptance by God flows through the fact that we have not just heard about confession or repentance and receiving Jesus, but we have actually done what is necessary for salvation. We completed that word by doing the steps necessary for salvation. Amen? By obeying God's call to our hearts. Amen. We have confessed our sins, repented of those sins, and received Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, I'm going to read from Romans chapter 3 out of the New Living Translation. Verse 21 says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet through Jesus Christ, when He freed us from the penalty for our sins, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedded His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past." So you got to do more than just hear, folks. Praise God we did when we asked Him to be our Savior. Amen? The second deception of just hearing the Word of God leads us to forget. If we just hear the Word of God, we have a tendency to forget. As an illustration, if you haven't used trigonometry in your profession for the last 30, 40, 50 years, how much do you remember? James used a powerful message concerning a man who looked into a mirror but walked away without doing anything about what he saw. The implication here is that a person can see the negative in his life and simply ignore it. Did you hear that? A person can see the negative in his life but simply ignore it. Now, think of this in the natural. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you see sleep in your eyes, your hair is mussed from wrestling your pillow all night, but you just walk away, never combing your hair, washing your face, shaving or putting makeup on, or putting on clean clothes. It's the same in the spiritual. God can reveal our sinful nature, but we just walk away, never attempting to do God's word so as to correct the problem. Once again, it's hearing and doing the word that leads to blessing. When the word is heard and obeyed, it leads to freedom. Freedom. We are all set free by the grace that comes through the gospel message, which means the only way to true freedom in your life and God's continual blessings on you and yours is by surrendering yourself to the obedience of the Word of God. Now, let me close. Dr. Charles Stanley defined obedience as an action. He said, obedience is doing what he says, when he says, how he says, and all he says. Anything less than this is not obedience, but disobedience. Let me tell you that again. Obedience is doing what he says, when he says, how he says, and all he says. Anything less than this is not obedience, but disobedience. So let me ask you a couple questions this morning. By Charles Stanley's definition, are you living in obedience to Jesus Christ? Are you truly living your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ by hearing and actively following the Word of God? Now, give me just a couple more minutes. I'd like to complete this message by reading a poem. This poem says, "You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. So, if I condemn thee, blame me not." Blame me not. Whether you decide to obey God or not, folks, it's completely your choice. Whether you do what the Word says, what you hear the Word say, it's completely your choice. Determining to walk out a life of faith is completely your choice. God has given you freedom to choose the path of your life. He wants you to choose Him. And even with the same importance, He wants you to choose His way of living. His way. He wants you to take hold of His hand and walk out the plan with Him. Amen? So do you need to surrender today? Do you need to make a fresh commitment to follow Him, to hear His voice, to do His word? I hope God is speaking to your hearts right now. I hope He's speaking to your hearts right now. I think there's times we're all disobedient to the Word of God. There's times that we're ignorant to what we're doing, and there's times we know what we're doing. I don't think God looks at our ignorance, but God does look at it when we willfully decide not to be obedient to what He tells us. We need to recommit to become obedient. I've listened to Elwan for a number of times in men's meeting, and he talks about this obedience and where it affects every part of our Christian walk. Every part. Your faith is dependent upon your obedience. Your love for people, for yourself even, is dependent on your obedience to the Word of God. Amen. We cannot take this casually, folks. The world, America, may be passive in their Christianity, but Turning Point Church needs to be obedient. We need to be obedient. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need prayer, I want you to come. Otherwise, we'll close with prayer, but if you need a special prayer, I want you to come. Hallelujah. I want to thank the veterans again. Bless these guys, Lord. Father, I just want to thank You for Your awesome presence. I want to thank You for the Holy Spirit who is continually prompting us to do the right thing, make the right decisions, go the right way. And Lord, I ask You to help us. And I say that because we're weak. Our flesh doesn't want to do what You ask us to do, Lord. I ask that You help us overcome our flesh and to be obedient to the Word of God. Lord, each one of us may be in a different place than that, but You know. Your Holy Spirit comes to point out these things that aren't right, and I ask that You do that in each life. And Lord, whether it takes courage or a determination or I want to, Lord, we will decide to be obedient and do the right thing. It may be simple, and it may be hard. You may be calling us, Lord, to something difficult. I know You call all of us to do things that are very easy. Reading Your Word is not hard. Praying for our situations and for other people are not hard. Lord, You just call us all the time. You speak to us all the time. Lord, encourage us to take these steps of faith and be obedient to Your Word. Lord, I thank You for today. Special day. Never be another day like this. Lord, help us to make decisions to do it your way, to align ourselves with the one who is in control. And I thank you and I praise you for this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.